one of the troop we'd seen yesterday. They'd not had time. And then his eyes were wide, a hunter sighting the game. I was snatching out my Jocelyn. Ulliver was shouting, "No!" dashing my hand aside and racing past me, drawing her knife as she ran. Without breaking stride, she threw it straight as an arrow for his breast. But this fellow knew his business, whipping his shield across to deflect the flying blade, shouting with triumph as he wheeled his mount for the forest. She'd known that a shot would bring the rest of his gang down on us, but I was bound to risk it now, and I was drawing a bead on his back when she stopped, grabbed up a stone, stood poised for an instant, and hurled it after him. It took him just below his helmet rim with a thunk, like an axe hitting wood. His horse reared as he hauled on the reins, and then he was toppling from the saddle, helmet going one way, lance t'other, and hitting the ground with an almighty crash of his back and breast. I bit back a yell of delight, but it was precaution wasted, for before we could stir another step, half a dozen lancers were bursting out of the green, taking in the scene in a second and sweeping down on us. It was blind instinct that made me blaze away at the leader, for an instant's thought was enough to convince me that I couldn't hope to down them all, and it was folly to waste time firing when I could be flying for dear life. Anyway, I'd missed the bastard, and he was dropping his lance point and charging me. Ulliver was flinging stones, the mad bitch, and yelling defiance. She caught the leader full in the clock, and he swerved his horse into the path of a comrade, both coming down in a splendid tangle of lashing hooves. She screamed with delight, and I thought, "Good luck, lass, you give 'em what for I ain't stopping." The river was a bare 50 yards away, and I made for it like a stung whippet. From the tail of my eye I saw Ulliver hurl a last missile and then come racing after me. My goal was the two Dobie wenches who had a boat beached. I'd barely have time to thrust it afloat and leap aboard before the hosts of Midian arrived. But it was the only hope, and even as I high-tailed it with Ulliver a few paces behind, I found myself thinking, "My stars, I've done this before, on the banks of the Ohio, with Cassie the runaway legging it after me, and the slave catchers roaring behind. And they shot me in the arse on the ice floes, and she dragged me to safety. Aye, but this time there'd be no Abe Lincoln on the far shore to face down our pursuers." Hooves were thundering horrid close, and I stole a glance which showed a lancer coming full career, point down, not 20 yards behind me. The Dobie girls were screaming and scattering. I knew I'd never reach their boat in time, and as I tripped and went down on the shingle, Ulliver swerved aside in her flight and leapt like a panther into the path of my pursuer, somehow catching his lance just behind the point with its ghastly burden of somebody's ghoulies. The glittering steel was diverted, driving into the ground a foot from my hip as I sprawled helpless. The lancer was flung from the saddle, and Ulliver, keeping her grip on the weapon, rolled away, came to her feet like an acrobat, wrenched the point free, and drove it into the fallen man's body, screaming like a banshee. It was no time for thanks or congratulation. I scrambled up and fairly flung myself at the boat, knocking one of the Dobie lasses flying, seized its prow and thrust it down the bank into the water. It was more like a canoe than their usual woven tubs, and almost capsized as I heaved myself inboard, grabbing wildly for one of the flat sticks which these benighted clowns use as paddles. Still on shore, Ulliver was hurling rocks and howling abuse. At her feet, the fallen lancer was kicking like a landed fish, with his own weapon pinning him to the earth. There were half a dozen of these fellows within 10 yards, but keeping a wary distance, one of them nursing an arm to testify to Ulliver's accuracy.
"Noise as pigs! Bullies of the bazaar! Cowardly bastards got by lepers on street-corner whores! Can one unarmed woman make you turn tail, dunghill disturbers that you are!"
She was in rare voice, but now two of them couched their lances and charged, and with a last shrieked insult she turned and did a racing dive, which brought her within reach of the stern even as I lashed the water with my clumsy oar, and the current carried her swiftly downstream and out of their reach. She scrambled in, shouting with laughter and bloodlust, taunting them with obscene curses and gestures as they stood helpless on the shore.
"Procurers of perverts! Offspring of diseased apes! Tell Theodore how Ulaba Walk, Queen of the Galas, whipped you single-handed!"
She stood up to rail at them, and the canoe rocked alarmingly.
"You'll have us over, rot you! Sit down and paddle!"
The current was strong, and we would have our work cut out to reach the far bank before it took us down to the little jungly islands where I could see the surface breaking into white water, which must mean rocks and rapids. But even as I weighed the distance, I saw that it was impossible. The green shore was at least 400 yards off, and with these near useless paddles we could hardly make headway across the river. The nearest islands were perhaps a mile distant. With luck, we might adjust our course to find the smoothest water between them.